Well, today, church, we are on part number three of our series of Transformed. And we have gone through the first week, which is spiritual transformation. That's where it all begins. You having a personal relationship and walk with your Savior, with your Creator, God, and maintaining that walk and staying close to Him. This past week, we looked at physical transformation, and that is seeing ourselves from God's perspective and honoring what He has given to us, seeing ourselves as stewards of all that we have, including our bodies, and using everything for Him and for service to Him and His good. And today, another very important aspect of our lives, and that is mental health and allowing the truth of God's Word to transform us in our mental understanding and our mental state. For this morning's scripture reading, I've asked Brother Matthew Lode if he'd come up and do the reading for us. Thank you, brother.
Good morning, church. Today I'll be reading from James 1, verses 12 to 16. Would you please stand as I read? Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for he has been approved, for he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt himself or anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when full grown, brings forth to death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Thank you. You may be seated.
Thank you, Matthew. Let us pray, church. Thank you, Lord, for your word to us. Lord, I pray this morning that you would indeed continue a transforming work in our lives, in every aspect of our lives. Lord, we need you. We need revival in our hearts, in every area of our lives. Revive your people, I pray. And this morning, I pray that we would understand more how you would have us to live, how you would have us to think in our mental health. Help us, Lord, to conform our thinking to you, your truth, and your word. Lord, if there's anybody here this morning that is uncertain of their salvation, their own soul, I pray, Father, that you would draw that person, draw that soul to Jesus Christ. We ask these things in Jesus' name, and we say, amen. Amen. So our theme verse for the 50 days of transformation is found in Romans 12:2 that we read earlier, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's where so much of the battle that we are going to be facing in this life takes place, is here in the mind. That's where the battleground is. And so this is a very, very important topic going forward here. Our version says the renewing of your mind. I read another translation, a Bible translation, that put it this way: by changing the way you think. Be transformed by changing the way you think. And that, of course, is through the truth of God's word. And so we change the way we think. We transform our minds through what God has given to us. Here's a summary of what I want to say this weekend in one sentence. Okay, this is not permission to hear the one sentence and then say, good, I'm out of here. But here's the summary. I'll give it to you. God is far more interested in changing your mind than in changing your circumstances. Okay, that's it. God is far more interested in changing your mind and the way you think than in changing your circumstances. We often think that if only this was different, if only my wife was more understanding, if only she was more this, more that, if only I had a better job, if only I had more money, And you think of all the circumstances that are causing you problems and crises in your life, and you think, if only this was different, then I would be happier, more joyful, more fulfilled, more everything. But I'm here to tell us and remind us that God is more interested in changing the way you think than changing the circumstances of your life around you. In fact, sometimes he lets us continue on through some of the painful circumstances in our life because he's trying to do a work in us. He's trying to do a work in us. Sometimes we don't really change when we see the light so much as we feel the heat. And God understands this, and that's our human nature. God says at times, I know that's what you want, but I'm far more interested in something else. I'm far more interested in what's going on. I'm more interested in your mind. Nothing happens until we begin the process of renewing the mind. Renewing the mind. And that is a process, and that's why it's a command in the scripture. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I wish I could stand here today and tell you, you'd put your faith in Jesus Christ. When you're born again, God somehow pushes a button in the back of your head. It's a reset button like on a computer. Wouldn't that be wonderful? You're born again. Congratulations. Turn around. Let me push that button and I'll reset your mind. And it's all fresh again. But this is a process, and it's a command that we are to renew our mind through the Word of God, through the truth of God's Word. Let's answer one question before we get into the main points. And that is why I must manage my mind. Why must I manage my mind? Just a couple of simple points here that we need to remember. First, because my thoughts control my life. Your thoughts control your life. Think about it. That's where it begins. Every single action begins with a thought. And thoughts that are dwelled on over and over and over again, they lead to action in your life. They lead to decisions that you make in your life because you have given it a lot of time up here. If you don't think about it, you don't do it. And that's both good and bad. You dwell on, you think on bad things, then bad things are going to be coming out of your life. But if you dwell and think on good things will come out of your life as well. The Bible tells us in Philippians that whatever things are good, true, lovely, honest, of good report, there's a few others, but it says think on these things. Because in our life, in your life, you know it, there's going to be a lot of good things. That is the blessings and the joys that God has given to us. And there's much of that. But we also know that in our life there's a lot of bad things. There's evil in the world. There's pain. There's crises. There's hurt. There's sorrow. And so that's why, what does God say to dwell on? To set your mind on. He says, set your mind on the things that are good and lovely, of good report. Think on these things. Why? Because God knows the importance of what it is that we set our mind to. What we set our mind to. And if we set our mind constantly to the evil and negative, to the bad, to the evil and sin in the world, it's going to change how we live too. God says, don't do that. Don't do that. The Bible says in Proverbs 4:23, look at this. Read it out loud with me. Ready? Keep your heart with all, for out of it spring the issues of life. Keep your heart. That is, watch what you focus on, what you dwell on. Watch the things that are happening inside. Because from that, it will affect every other area of your life. That's what this proverb is telling us. If you accept the thought, for example, let's say you're growing up and you didn't have the best parents, perhaps, the most encouraging parents. In fact, maybe you grew up and you were constantly told you're worthless, you're no good. you don't matter, and so on. You're uncoordinated. You're useless. If that's what you were growing up with your entire life, if you accepted that just as fact, whether it was right or wrong, that kind of stuff would have shaped your life, wouldn't it? And so that's why there comes a time when we have to be willing to step back and say, what is truth? What is truth? And it's the same way in our all of our life. We have to be able to step back and say, God, what is truth in your word? Who am I? Who have you made me to be? What have you made me to be? In Christ, I am a new creation. I am a child of God. I am set free from sin. I am not a slave to sin. I am not in bondage anymore. I am free to serve God with all my heart now. This is who he's made me to be. So I must manage my mind because my thoughts control my life. What thoughts are controlling your life? But secondly, I must manage my mind because the mind is the battleground for sin. This is where I win or lose the battle. Temptation begins in the mind. We see this at the very first temptation, Adam and Eve in the garden. And the first thing Satan challenges is what's going on in the mind. Did God say, don't do this? Are you sure that's what he said? And so he begins the questioning and the reprogramming work in the mind here before any action ever comes out. Romans 7:23, Paul writes this. He says, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Notice the words here. There's warring. The word mind and the word captivity. He says there's a war going on in the mind, and it can bring me into captivity. And this is a strong metaphorical language here. And Satan wants to control your mind. Why? Because he realizes whatever gets your attention gets you. And that's where it's won, that's where it's lost. So over and over again, the Bible urges us to fight this battle of the mind. And we need to be prepared for that. I want to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. And this is going to be a daily process. It must be a daily process. So let's look this morning now at three daily choices for a healthy mind. Some of you may be here and you're thinking in your mind right now, but I can't control my thoughts. They just pop into my head. You can. God wants you to control those thoughts. God wants you to renew that mind, to renew your thoughts. Satan cannot control your thoughts. Amen? Aren't you glad? Satan cannot control your thoughts. He can suggest. He can put suggestions of thoughts out there. But he cannot control your thoughts. In fact, God isn't even controlling your thoughts. That's why we're commanded numerous times to renew your minds in the truth of the Word of God. God says, this is my word to you. You must renew your mind. Will you obey him? Will you do that? So three daily choices. Here we go. Boy, I'm hot. Anybody hot in here? Okay. Anybody get offended if I take off my coat? Oh. Okay. Daily choices. I'm sorry. No sermon notes. You have your books. Write them down. The first one is this. I must feed my mind with truth. I must feed my mind with truth. We all understand the importance of good nutrition to being healthy. The old saying, garbage in, garbage out. You put garbage into something, you're going to get garbage out of it. It's that way with nutrition as well. We understand that if you're constantly feeding garbage, junk food, Don't expect a healthy return in your body. But with my mind, I must feed my mind not with junk. And there's so much junk that you can feed your mind on. But I need to feed it with what is good and what is truth. And we'll be looking more in the small groups this coming week into this. But Jesus is the one that said, you shall know the truth and the truth will make you free. And so if I want to be free, if I want to live a life of freedom as God would have me, I need to feed on the truth of the Word of God continually. Even the best leaders in the world need to have the best communication or the best information so that they can make the best choices. If you're a great leader and you get bad information, you're still going to make bad choices because the information that they're receiving and putting in is bad. It's that way with us, with our minds. What are we putting into our minds constantly and continually? You dwell on God's word. You put your focus on the Lord. You'll be better equipped for those decisions and things that come along in your life too. Matthew 4:4, Jesus says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. That is our nutrition. When should I feed on this truth? When should I do this? The simple answer is all the time. All the time. Throughout the day, in morning, noon, nighttime. What if you decided right now, you know, I waste too much time eating. What I am going to do this time is just take all my food one time a week. I'm just going to gorge on Sunday afternoon after church. Some of you do already. But let's just say I've decided not to waste all my time with breakfast or lunches or having dinners. I can accomplish so much more. And you gorge one meal out of the week. Is that going to work for you? I hope you understand. No, that's not really going to work. That's not going to work. We understand that we need regular input, regular nutrition so that we can think well, so that our bodies can function well, we can sleep well, and the list goes on. And so it's better to eat smaller meals more often than to gorge one time a week. That would just not be possible. What does David say? He says in Psalm 119, verse 147, he says, I rise before the dawning of the morning and cry for help. I hope in your word. What he says here is even when he wakes up early in the morning, he cries for help. That is, he's praying. He's communicating with God. And he says, I hope in your word. What's that? That he's studying God's word. It's his Bible study. He says, even very early in the morning, I focus on you, God. I talk with you and I read your word to me. So what are you starting your day with? Are you starting your day with hope or despair? Throughout the Psalms, David writes of his time with the Lord. He writes of it in the daytime, in the evening time, in the morning time, throughout the day, continually. And remember, David spent a lot of his time running. And some of the Psalms were written during these times when he was on the run. Remember, King Saul for a time wanted him dead. Not figuratively, he literally wanted to kill him. And he actually tried to kill him a number of times. And so David spent time living in caves, moving from place to place. And each time he would put his head down to sleep at night, he'd wonder if he would make it till the morning. And he'd wonder, am I going to be killed the next day? And this was the kind of life that David was having to live for a time. And he says in verse 95 of the same psalm, he says, the wicked wait for me to destroy me, but I will consider your testimonies. And so David, in the middle of people chasing him, to ambush him, to kill him, to literally kill him, and in this time of stress and trials of his life, he says, but I will consider your testimonies. God, my mind is going to be focused on you continually. My mind is going to be focused on your word continually. How many of us would be able to say the same thing if we, our lives were constantly literally in danger and we're on the run? Maybe the first things we're thinking of is, I got to take care of myself. I got to do this. I got to do that. But would it be my mind, God, is on your word continually, on you continually? Do you do that in a crisis? That's called managing your mind. I feed my mind daily on truth. I feed my mind daily on God's word. Number two habit. I must free my mind from destructive thoughts. Free it from destructive thoughts. We have them. You have them. There may be some destructive thoughts that you're harboring, that you're continuing to hold on to continually. And you need to free your mind from that with God's truth. When you come to Christ, he has some things to say about you. When you come to faith in Jesus Christ, he has some things that he says who you are, what he has made you to be, who you are now in Christ. And this is in conflict to what you have been told or what perhaps you believe up here. There may be some conflict going on. Again, for example, if you grew up and you're constantly told, just as an example, you are the clumsiest person ever, even if it was not true at all, you believed it and you lived a life acting as if you were the clumsiest person around, because that is a lie that you were led to believe. But there are many other destructive thoughts that we hold on to in our lives, and I don't know each and every one of your minds and what you may be holding on to. Maybe in your mind, in some of your destructive thoughts are different. Destructive thoughts such as, I just can't control my anger. I have no control over it whatsoever. I'm just not good at reading or understanding the Bible. I just can't do that. I'm not smart enough. Or other destructive thoughts as in, I just can't live without alcohol, or without cigarettes or other drugs or things that you just in your mind are being told, I must have this. I must free my mind from destructive thoughts, though. And that isn't easy. And the reason it's not easy is because we have some enemies. The first enemy we have is the old nature. The old nature. Paul writes in Romans 7, 23, he talks about his old nature that kept him in mental bondage. And he says this, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Paul says, I have that struggle. There is an old nature, and that old nature, even though I'm different, even though in Christ I am a new creation, I am changed. What Paul is saying here is there's this old nature, and it's familiar. It's comfortable. It's something that fits like an old shoe, and it's easy to put back on. We don't have to. We must not. We're told not to. We are free from it, but it still is that which is familiar, that which is comfortable. Do you ever find yourself doing things you really don't want to do? As a Christian, as a believer in Christ, do you find yourself doing things you don't want to do? That's the battle that takes place, that begins, that is won, that is lost here in the mind. Another question, you don't have to raise your hands on this one. Please don't. But have you ever knowingly engaged in self-defeating sin behavior? Knowingly, You perhaps realize, I know this isn't good for me, but what's going on here? It's the battle for the mind. It's the battle for the mind. The battle that takes place in the mind, in your brain. Romans 8, 5, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. Those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So there's two options here. You could focus on the comfortable, the familiar, the old nature, or you could focus on the new nature, who God has made you to be in Christ, and make that your focus. But the second enemy, so the first enemy is the old nature, but the second enemy is Satan. Satan. The Bible describes Satan as a roaring lion seeking whom he may, what's the word? You know it. He's a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. That is, whom he may destroy. So Satan wants to destroy you. He can't. He has no right over you as a child of God. You belong to Jesus Christ. You are in him. So he has no right over you. But he wants to control your mind. So he sends these ideas, these thoughts into our mind. Now, let me be clear. Satan can't force you to do anything. Satan cannot force you to do anything. If you're a Christian, we've seen this before. If you're a Christian, what do you have living inside you? Your body is the what? The temple of the Holy Spirit of God. We saw that under the physical health. Your body is the temple of the Spirit of God. That is the Holy Spirit. God lives in you. So Satan cannot force you to do anything because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. But you know what he can do? He can constantly make suggestions like he did in the garden with Adam and Eve. He can constantly make suggestions to you. And those suggestions are very, very powerful. He's constantly, continually planting negative thoughts in your mind. He'll use other people. He'll use things around you. He'll use the television, or he'll just throw a thought into your mind. And so what are you going to do? Christian, brother, sister, what are you going to do when he's constantly bombarding you in this way? The theologian, Reformation Father Martin Luther, he's well known for many things, but he's well known for this particular statement that he made. He says, you can't keep birds from flying over your head, but you can keep them from nesting in your hair. Okay? Did you get that? Again, it's metaphorical, but he says, you can't keep birds from flying over your head. They're going to fly over your head whether you want them to or not. But you can stop them from making a nest in your own hair. What's he talking about here? He's talking about this very subject of Satan and his attacks upon us. And you can't control all his activity, all his actions around you, but you can control what it does inside. You can control what you do with those negative thoughts, negative attacks, whether you will accept it or whether you will counter it with this truth of the Word of God. A basic principle is you don't have to believe everything that you think. Amen? Listen, you don't have to believe everything that pops into your mind. I don't know about you, but sometimes stupid things pop into my mind. Now, my wife will agree with that one, but hopefully not too often. But sometimes just things come into my mind and I have to realize, wait a second, I don't have to accept or believe everything that pops into my mind. Everything that comes into my mind may not be truth. And if you understand this basic concept, you don't have to accept everything that pops into your mind. You're on the road to good mental health. Because not everything that you think is truth. Stuff that you think about yourself, perhaps stuff that you think about God, stuff you think about your husband or your wife or your community or even the government, it's just not all true because you thought about it. And we're going to cover that in more detail in the coming week in the small groups. Example in the Bible. Paul talks about a man in the church who indeed caused a lot of problems. And in 2 Corinthians 2, he tells the church, I have forgiven that one for your sakes in the presence of Christ. There was a man that caused many difficulties, many problems. He had repented of it, and he's urging the church to just forgive him. He says, I've forgiven them. Verse 11, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. So Paul's urging the church, don't let this become something that Satan uses against us, against you. A spirit of unforgiveness. Something that pops into perhaps your mind that says, why should I forgive him? I can't forgive him. He doesn't deserve forgiveness. And the lists go on. Paul says, forgive him. Because we're not ignorant of how Satan does things. We have an enemy. His name is Satan. He's not messing around. He seeks to destroy lives. He wants to harm you. And he can use, if he can use these lies to get into your mind, he will. So Paul says, don't let something like unforgiveness be a tool of Satan. The third enemy is the world's value system. Think of the culture around you. Does the culture around you promote a more disciplined life? Of course, we know the answer. No. You know, have it your way. Do what feels good to you. You deserve, the best. And that's the culture around you. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 10:4, he says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. What's a stronghold? Pulling down strongholds. These strongholds are lies that you believe. Lies that you believe in your mind. That perhaps Satan has put there or other people have put there. Or whatever, however it got there. But these are continual lies that you believe. A lie I believe that maybe that God really doesn't love me. He really doesn't want what's best for me. He doesn't have my best interest in mind. Satan deceived the woman in the Garden of Eden, Eve. And he says, basically he's saying God doesn't want what's best for you. God knows, you know, when you do this, you'll be like him, knowing good and evil, and it'll be great. And so her lie that she believed was that God was withholding something good from her, and he couldn't be trusted. That's a stronghold. Maybe another stronghold is, if I could just make more money, then I will be happy. Maybe another stronghold is thinking I can gratify my desires or my sexual desires outside of marriage, and that'll make me happier and fulfilled. Maybe a stronghold is I can never forgive. Fill in the blanks. I can never forgive others. I can never forgive my parents, my husband, my wife. I can never forgive myself. These are strongholds in the mind. And so Paul writes that our weapon is not carnal, that is fleshly or physical, but they're spiritual weapons that God gives to us for tearing down these strongholds. How do we fight this battle? Notice the phrases, bring every thought into captivity. We take captive. Circle that, underline that, note that. The other phrase is we bring it into obedience to Christ. So we take every thought captive. We arrest it, we grab a hold of it, and we bring it into submission, into obedience to Christ. That is to his truth. You shall know the truth. The truth will make you free. We bring every thought into captivity to the truth of Jesus Christ. This is so important. I want to take a moment here to explain something, and it has to do with temptation. Our brother Matthew earlier read this text in the book of James, which explains to us how temptation works. Now remember, the battle begins, is won, is lost here. This is where Satan likes to put the thoughts. This is where the battle takes place. So James tells us in chapter 1, verse 14, but each one, when he is tempted, when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed, then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Now notice the process here. This is the temptation process. It's not just an isolated event, one-time event. Sometimes people are like, I don't know what happened. It just caught me off guard. I couldn't help it. It was just a fling, a one-night stand. When I was unfaithful to my wife, it wasn't. It wasn't. There were lots of things that you did, things that you gave into before you went to that point. Lots of things. And James outlines what takes place here. There's four phases. The first phase is this. It's desire. Because he says each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires. His own desires. So it's his own desires. If you don't have that desire for something, that's not a temptation, is it? And listen, Satan knows your desires and what will tempt you. He knows it. There's some things that maybe have tempted you and have been a battle in your life that for me, I'm like, meh, why? But there may be things in my life that I battle with that you've not faced in your own life, in your own struggles. As an example, I've never been tempted to smoke cigarettes. That's not been something that's just been a real pull for me. And I'm glad, but it's not been a pull for me. I smell it. It doesn't smell good. When I was young, I listened to a friend and I tried it and I didn't see the appeal. It was nasty. Now, nobody's going to say that, you know, the Bible says, you know, you shall not smoke cigarettes. Nobody's going to tell us that, cigarettes send a person to hell. I've heard it said that it just makes you smell like you've been there. Amen? And I know Christians, though. I know others that struggle with something like cigarettes. Okay, and for them, it's a battle. And perhaps they want to give it up, and they try, and you just see the struggle, and your heart goes out to them because you realize this is a real battle for them. This is a real battle for them. This is their desire. And Satan understands that, and he brings that temptation. But a temptation, a desire, doesn't even have to be an evil one. It doesn't have to be an evil one. It could be a natural one. We have desires for things like eating. God gave us a desire to eat. That's our hunger. And it's a good thing. He gave us a desire for sleep. We need to sleep. He even gave us desires like for sexual intimacy. God gave that to us. When he made mankind, he gave us these inbuilt natural desires. And they can be a very good thing. But temptation is what turns a desire bad. A temptation is that pull to misuse and abuse those desires. So instead of taking a good, healthy desire for food, it turns me into a glutton. Instead of taking a healthy desire for sleep, it turns me into a sloth, a sluggard. Instead of using the healthy desire that God gave me for sexual intimacy in God's intended use of it, it turns me into an adulterer, a fornicator. But notice the temptation then starts in the mind. It starts in the mind. The second step of the temptation, we see this It's doubt. We see this in the very first temptation, Adam and Eve. They're in a perfect environment. Not only did God create a perfect, beautiful world, but God made a beautiful garden. And he placed them in this beautiful garden, just Adam and Eve. Just the man and the perfect man and a perfect woman. And they had no kids. How wonderful was that? How did they blow that? I'm sorry. I always forget I have some of my kids here in the audience too. But how did they mess that up? How on earth did they mess that up? Well, Satan put doubt in their minds. Satan comes along and says, you see that tree over there? Did God really say don't eat of that tree? What's he doing? He's putting doubt into their minds of God's word. Every time you give into temptation, you are believing a lie. You're saying, I know better. God doesn't. God doesn't know better, or he doesn't want the best for my life. I can handle this. I know better than God. The third step is something called deception. Satan replaces God's truth with a lie. Satan ultimately told Adam and Eve, you won't die. God wasn't telling you the truth. Notice James, though, says, when he is drawn away by his own desires. This deception is a person being drawn away, not by somebody else's desires, but his own desires. He is drawn away. That word that's used there is a basic fishing term. It just means to be baited. He's baited. And so he's drawn away. He puts on the bait on the fishing lure, but he puts it on knowing that person's desires. Any of you fishermen here? I'm not a fisherman. I know a few of you are. We have a few around here. But one of the most important things is using the right bait. You just put a hook in the water, you're not going to catch anything. But you put on the right bait in there. Something that is tempting and luring. And that'll attract attention every time. And sometimes that bait, sometimes there's lures that are made. They're bright and colorful and flashy. And they're very appealing to a fish. But the bait that Satan uses against us is often very tempting and luring, bright and flashy as well. Boy, bright and flashy. Have you guys ever seen Las Vegas in the U.S.? I mean, they call it Sin City for a reason. But have you seen the pit? It's beautiful. There's lights everywhere. It's very bright and flashy. And everything that people are wearing is bright and flashy, saying, come here, give us your money. Spend more money. But Satan knows what bait to use for you. What deception is the right bait? What will catch your attention? And then step four is disobedience and defeat. Disobedience and defeat. James says it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's full grown, brings forth death. That's the result. That's the result. Three things. I said, you've got to make these choices every day in your life. First, you need to feed your mind constantly, not on garbage, but on truth, on God's word. But second, you have to free your mind from destructive thoughts. We talked about how this happens. But third, finally, I must focus my mind on the right things. What are the right things? Let me give you three simple things. First of all, think on Jesus. Keep your mind focused on Jesus Christ. All things were made by him and for him. Your life exists to bring glory to him. Think about Jesus. There's an old cliche that says you become what you think about the most. What's going on in your mind the most, that's what you're going to become. Your goal in life is to be more like Christ. God's goal is to transform you more and more into the image of his son, Jesus Christ. Think on him. We're told in Hebrews 12, 2, familiar passage, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That says, keep your eyes on Jesus. talks about us being in the race. We're running a race that God has set before us, and others have run this race. And we have a crowd of witnesses watching us running this race. It says, keep your eyes focused, not on everybody else, not on the crowd, not on the problems along the way, but keep your eyes on the finish. Keep your eyes on Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. A second, think about others. Philippians 2:4 tells us, let each of you look not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Keep your eyes on other people. Not in the wrong way, of course, but as in caring for them, being interested in them. This is countercultural. Everything in the world teaches you that you think about yourself. You look after number one first. Number one is important. We need to look out for others, care for others, love others, share with others. Third, think about eternity. Colossians tells us, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Set your mind on things above. Keep your mind focused on eternity. God made you for eternity. You are an eternal being. We're not God. We never have been, never will be. But he did make us to be eternal. When we finish this life, we will exist eternally. We will exist eternally with him in heaven, or we will exist eternally separated from him in hell. These are the two eternal places that God has given to us, that God has told us of. That's it. Keep your mind focused on eternity. I need to free my mind from destructive thoughts. I can choose not to think them by changing the way I think. Then I can focus my mind on the right things. When I'm focused on the right thing, I don't have time to pay attention to the wrong things as much, because I'm focused on the right things. I'd like to invite you to stand with me for prayer time. And I want to invite you to pray. In just a moment, I want to lead you in a simple prayer of commitment, dedication to these things today. I do also want to say that if you're here and you're not even sure of your own salvation, that is, you're standing with God, if you've forgiven, if your sins are forgiven, if you are made right with God, if you're not sure of these things, get this settled today. Come and see one of the church leaders, myself included. Come and see one of us and say, Pastor Ken, I want to be right with God. God is convicting me, speaking to me. I want to be that new creation that you spoke of. Father, you gave us our minds. You made us in your image, and one of the greatest gifts that you've given to us is that of the mind, that of our intellect. We realize, though, that that is our greatest asset, but it's also the greatest battleground where the battles take place. We realize that the world, the old flesh, and even Satan team up to destroy us, to thwart our best intentions. Lord, I pray that you would change us again through your truth this morning. And I invite you now to pray with me a simple prayer to God. God, help me to put into practice what I've learned today. God, help me to put into practice. Help me to make these choices on a daily basis. I want to feed my mind with truth all the time. I want to free my mind from the destructive thoughts by taking every thought captive and making it obedient to Christ. Not just letting my mind run wild, but keeping it into obedience to Christ. Help me to be wise to temptation and realize when desires, even natural good desires, turn to doubt, to deception, and to disobedience. Lord, today I'm making up my mind to obey your word no matter what. Help me to keep my thoughts right. Keep my thoughts on Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. Help me to think about others and their needs. Help me to think about eternity so that my life, my mental life, may be truly transformed. I pray this in your name. And we say, amen. And I hope you prayed that in your heart and that you meant it. Please be seated. And once again, I invite you to come and talk to us if you need some further counsel, or if you want to talk about trusting Jesus to be your Savior. We're here for you.